Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Today's scripture reading comes through Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him. And he began to teach them, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you, and persecute you, and lie about you, and say all sorts of evil things against you, because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. May God bless your hearing and understanding of the scripture. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Pastor Harold. I'm welcome you to our series on Beatitudes. This is the message series we're in, and we're going through the Beatitudes and trying to unpack them, understand them a little deeper than maybe what we already do. Today's message is titled, How Do You Become a Peacemaker in a Hostile World? We live in a very polarized world, a very divided world overall. And so how do you manage that? How do you reconcile that inside yourself, but also as you try to just move around and be present, be a citizen, be a sibling, be a parent, be a co-worker, just be a citizen in a world that's pretty broken in a lot of ways. And how do you do that? And so our scripture really gives us clear-cut instructions to do that, but that's what we're going to do. Today we're in the seventh beatitude from Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, delivered by Jesus himself. So it's pretty important because it comes right from the Lord himself. And we're unpacking that. And today's, again, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Matthew 5, 9. In this part of Jesus' sermon, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And the question is, what is a peacemaker? You know, they shall be called the children of God. And what does that even mean? And so that's what we're going to try to wrestle with today. The Greek word translated for peacemaker is eirenipo. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it, but that's the Greek word. And it's only mentioned twice in the entire New Testament, right here in this particular beatitude. And it's used one other place. And it's used in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And I'll quote it for you. And it says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell within him and through him to reconcile all things to him, having made peace. And that's where the word comes in, through the blood of his cross. End quote. And so it's amazing that word, the way it's translated, is only twice in the New Testament. But Jesus laid down his life. This is why Easter is a big deal. This is why Jesus is a big deal. He laid down his life so we could have peace between God and sinners. And we can then replicate that. We can carry the message on to those who are lost themselves. God delights in those who reconcile to himself. So that's the greatest joy, I think, in God. It's just like you would be as a parent if one of your children were lost and they came back home and got restored. That would bring you a tremendous amount of peace for yourself as a parent. And some of you have that experience. Some of you are going through that probably right now at some level. But those who bring the gospel are beautiful. You know, those who carry the message, those who share their testimony, the reason they have joy in their life, their experience, their strength and hope of what it means to be lost, what it means to be found, and what it means to carry it forward today. That God relishes that. And he tells us that in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And it goes on, God reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. That's our ministry, is to be reconciled ourselves and help others do the same thing. And in that joy, that exchange, is where there's so much magic, if you would, in the transformation of the human heart, in the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And that's where it comes from. And if we're not doing that, then one, we're really not living into the calling on our life, but we're also missing the magic. And it's really easy to struggle here because of four things: pride, fear, pessimism, and indifference. And those four bogeymen, if you would, can really rob you from this experience. Pride being, I'm too busy, I got all this stuff, I'm important now, I got all these things to take care of. So you just get lost in your own self-interest. And then fear is, well, I'm not very good at it. I'm not good at talking about my life or what God's done in my life. And so I just kind of avoid those conversations. The pessimism is that this self-righteousness that, look at them, they're not even going to pay attention if I talk to them anyway. It's like, you know, somebody who's unhoused or somebody who's in a treatment center or somebody's in a prison or somebody that may be just in your circles that just seems out there. They're lost. They don't have it all together. And you look at them and you can easily become judgmental and go, what's the use? You know, they're so lost and broken. Why even try? And that's that pessimism that can get us. And then ultimately, the indifference. Well, they're not like me. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. They didn't come from where I came from. They don't act. We don't have anything in common. And so those four things can really cripple you in this ministry of reconciliation. And so if you're not really engaged in this ministry, then I encourage you to inventory why and what's holding you back. I can promise you it's one of all four of those things that's in your life that holds you back. Those who bring reconciliation to broken relationships are carrying the work of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That's one of his names, titles. And those who give themselves as Jesus did so that others may know God are called blessed. Or if you remember in our very first message, the Hebrew word is baruch for that word, blessed. That they are blessed if they're doing this work. And again, the blessing in the Beatitudes, the promise, if you would, is always on the end of the Beatitude. So if you're living as a peacemaker, you're going to be called a child of God. It's always on the back end of that. There's no real peace apart from God. This is the human delusion. The delusion that I can rest satisfaction out of this world if I can just manage it well. If I can just get the right house and have the right relationships and the right amount of money and the right amount of weight and height and beauty and all along, the power, glory, prestige, all the stuff that just fights for our attention. But there's really no peace in that. There might be moments of what seems to be happiness, but let's be honest, that quickly fades. And then we're all trying something else, a new makeup, you know, a new shoe size, go on down the line. So many of us masquerade as worldly peace and merely attempting to lull in the chaos. And so we masquerade in that. John chapter 14, 27 reminds us of that. Genuine serenity, which is the synonymous word for peace, can solely be obtained by the reparation of the broken relationship with God. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Isaiah 48, 22. So if I'm separated God, which is ultimately the problem, everything else is a symptom. Even the extreme self-centeredness that humans suffer from is still a symptom of the problem. So all of our defects, we all have them. If you don't know what they are, just ask somebody who's close to you. Ask your spouse. They'll tell you what your defects of character, right? Your children, or your neighbors, or your best friend. They'll gladly tell you what they are. We all have them. There's no blue ribbons hanging on my wall, I can promise you. I'm the biggest corn dog I know. But all those are just still symptoms of the problem. They're not the problem. The problem is separation. I'm separated from God. I'm separated from this power. And there's no peace until I get that connection corrected. But it's so much more than just raising your hand and saying yes to the gospel, responding to the gospel. It's more than that. There's work that has to be done. And reconciliation is part of that. I think of all you inventory your lives, your relationships throughout your life, you're going to see relationships that have just never fully materialized because of resentment, because of bitterness, because of a fight, because of a twist of perception, or merely because of casual laziness. You just never participated in the relationship. And it can go on like that for your entire life. You can just have people that are really in your life, on paper at least, that you never connect with because of all the stuff I already mentioned. And you're separated from that. And so we have to get right with God in order to get right with the world. Or as the old illustration goes, in order to get this lineage corrected, or this lineage corrected, I got to get this lineage corrected first, you know, the sign of the cross. Horizontally is us, up and down vertical is with God. Only children of God can bring the peace of knowing God to others. But we're the only messenger. You can't share something you don't have. But if you had the good news in your heart, you got power. You got, God can use that, especially if you've healed from a lot of tragedy. All human beings are broken. You all have your stuff. Your greatest testimony is, you know, what it used to be like in that stuff and what happened to you. How did God intervene in your life? Who was the players? Who were the Eskimos or the angels that stepped into your life and made a difference to you and gave you the invitation for the gospel that you responded to and said yes? And then you ultimately had this transformation over time that leads to this amazing life. And if you really have that going on, you can't wait to share it with somebody else. You can't wait to share that. If you don't have joy in your heart, I don't care how much you know about the Bible, how long you've been coming to church, it means nothing. It's useless. So you got to have that joy. And if you don't have that joy, if you're listening to this message or you're sitting here this morning and you just feel like that's not how where I'm at in life, then take it seriously and do something about it. But most likely, it's a separation from God, and it could be very categorical. I could be really connected to God in this area of my life and really be all the way out in Mars somewhere in the universe in this other area of my life. And so it's just bringing all that in. And we need help to do that. We need community to do that. We need others to do that. And we need mentors to do that. We need mentors are just people who are not emotionally or financially invested in your life, who can help you see yourself for what you truly are. They can shine the spotlight of truth on your life and help you see where the blockage is, if you would. You know, where you're cut off, where you're separated from, where the disturbance is coming from. But again, only children of God can, you know, bring the peace of knowing God to other people. A person must have a real relationship with God before they can help someone else know God. And those who witness to Christ or for Christ share their faith with their friends and serve others in the name of Christ, and they are ambassadors for peace. This verse identifies, and we see it in Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 through 42. So those who bring the wonderful message of God's peace, the gospel of the world, are peacemakers, right? And Jesus calls them children of God. So again, it boils back to that question, why don't humans have peace, right? And we're born that way. We're born with a separation. And you can just look at an infant. When they're separated from their mother, most of the time, that's their mother, they're not happy. They want their mom. You know, they want that comfort that comes from being in their mom's arms. And they want their bottle, whatever their comfort is. And we all have things with comfort. What's your comfort food? Everybody's got a comfort food. Is it ice cream? Is it pie? Is it ribs from Dexter's Barbecue? You know, what is your comfort? Is it Hodak's fried chicken, you know, back there in the back? I mean, what is your comfort food? We all want comfort. We all strive and lean on worldly things, but you can really see it in children, what they tend to. Linus with his blanket, on and on and on, that we want. We want this comfort. And if we're separated from it, we're not happy. But take that to a spiritual level. When you're separated from God, there's no peace. And that is the dilemma. This lack of peace matched with worldly vices, or if you would, idolatry, our idols, leads to this delusion, it leads to futility, and it leads to a lot of unhappiness in our souls. Our souls being our mind, our will, and our emotions. And you become restless, you become irritable, and you become discontent. And you want the pain to go away. That's why it's easy to fall into addictions or really poor habits that ultimately can burn your life completely to the ground if you stay in that long enough. And so you got to find a way out. And we try all this stuff. We all these self-help programs, all this stuff that's out there trying to fix ourselves, and we can't fix ourselves. You can't fix this separation. It's only going to be from surrender and repentance and just responding to the gospel. The gospel isn't something you do. The gospel is a response. God says, come, follow me. And if I'm really sold out to follow him, I just lay down whatever I'm doing and I follow. I may have questions, but I'm going to ask him while I'm following. I'm not going to just hold back and say, well, I'll follow if you can explain this, or I'll follow. No, I'm just going to follow because I want peace in my life. And once you start to do that, you start to have that experiences. But even in our spiritual walk, selfishness rears its ugly head. The manifestation of self, capital S-E-L-F, is amazing to me. Even in my own life, how it creeps in, even into your spiritual life, where everything you do, you're doing it still for your desires. It's like, you come to church, you can pray, you can do all these things, but it's from a very selfish standpoint. I want God to answer my prayers. I want God to bless me. I want good health. I want good fortune. I want things to go my way. I want peace for myself. But if you really play it out, you see how self-centered that is. It's just, yeah, I want this for me. And God said, you got to die to that. Jesus said, you got all that, you got to die to all that stuff. And you need to be living your life for other people, other centeredness. You know, this really means become the driving force of your life. And in that, when you're trying to help other people find peace, you'll find true peace. And you will be a child of God. And it's really, we say it this way at the prison all the time. It's the hillbilly limb. This is the hillbilly illustration for that. When I'm busy thinking about that corn dog, I'm not thinking about this one, right? And in that exchange, there's a tremendous amount of peace. You walk into the prison with us. Mark does prison work. You walk into the prison, whatever your worldly strife is that day, whatever the angst is going in your life, I can promise you when you walk out an hour and a half, 2 hours later, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's not that big a deal. It puts things in perspective. And it's that magic of just separation from the world system, getting out of myself and investing in something other than myself that brings that peace. And I need to be doing that a lot. Gandhi once said, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. You know, in this get-even mentality that we see around the world. So Einstein says, peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding. There has to be a conversation with people that I'm in disagreement with, if you know, whatever that may be. You cannot shake, Gandhi would also say, you cannot shake hands with a clenched fist. You know, these are great illustrations and metaphors to think about what it means to be a peacemaker. If you want peace, this is what Desmond Tutu said, if you want peace, don't talk to your friends, talk to your enemies, right? End quote. And so you have to take some risk and you have to be pretty vulnerable. But this is how peace comes about. And you can help people reconcile their differences in a big way. And sometimes, isn't that you have to have all the answers, but you're there trying to, one, lead by example, pray with them, love on them, but, you know, big time, but also just helping them unpack it, what that looks like. These actions require humility. It's living for a greater purpose than ourselves, striving for peace for others. And peacemakers help others get connected to the true peacemaker, which is Jesus, right? Great example. I was in Eureka Springs Friday and Saturday. And I ended up doing a workshop down there all day on Saturday and sharing a lot of stuff in the course of a whole day, four different sessions, 75 minutes each. But after all that was over, thousands of people there, you know, several people want your time, want to meet one-on-one. I sat with a guy Saturday morning, yesterday morning, guy 68 years old from Oklahoma. And he just wanted to confess where he's separated. And this was his separation. I'm 68, I'm self-employed, my wife's a nurse, I run my own business, and I haven't filed a tax return in 3 years. I'm so messed up on my taxes, and I have poor business skills, and I just don't do it. I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And it's causing me problems. It's going to cause my family problems, and I don't know what to do. The delusion is my poor tax situation is the problem. But it's not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. The real problem is this particular area of his life, when it comes to his money, his finances, is totally separated from God. And he's trying to be the God of his own cash drawer. And he's terrible at it. The easy resolve is, yes, you go find somebody, a tax attorney or somebody like that, that can help you reconcile that. Go get in front of the IRS and they'll work with you. I've done it millions of times with people. A lot more than what he owes, I can promise you. Six-figure stuff. You know, and get reconciled. People out there, for the most part in the world, want to help you get right most of the time. If you just go face the music, if you just go set with them, you can then you start to have peace because you're dealing with the problem. But still, you're only dealing with the symptom of the problem. The ultimate problem is I'm separated from God in this area of life. I'm not willing to take my money and say, God, here's my money. You know, here's my life. Here it is. Thy will not mine be done. And then surrender whatever that looks like through the help of mentorship and guidance in our life. That's how we find peace. But helping people do that is what it means to be a peacemaker. Not to sit in judgment of them, not to chastise them, just say, look, I've been where you've been. Maybe not that, but I was this over here. I identified with the mess. But it's what are we going to do with the mess? But the mess is the problem. That's the delusion. If I fix this, I'm going to be okay. No, you're not. You'll have some temporary peace because now you're in good standing. Your credit score is going to go up. Your family's not on your back. But you're still separated in this area of your life. Or maybe even deeper than that. And that's what we're talking about. And if you can heal that separation, this is what this whole gospel, responding to the gospel, is about, is to be reconciled to Christ. And it's only possible because of Jesus and what he did on the cross to even have this connection to God the way we have it. And we say yes to it, but we got to get reconciled. And for most of us, that don't mean, you know, we got this whole history of life, depending on how old you are when you come to the Lord. I mean, really come to the Lord. I mean, really surrender your life to the Lord. All this, the easy thing to do is just ignore my past. Now I'm good and I'm just going to walk forward. Jesus is going to say, no, that's not how it works. In Matthew 25, he's going to tell you really quick, if you're bringing a gift to the altar or a prayer request to the altar, or you're asking for a blessing from the altar, hey, just leave it here and go get right with your brother. If you've got something against your brother, if there's conflict with your brother, if there's any kind of division with your brother, leave that here and go get right with him and then come back here. That's a huge difference. And that's scary, especially if there's been separation for years and years and years. But that's how you bring about peace. You can't control their response to that, but stepping into that creates incredible opportunity what God can do with that. And so that's what we're talking about. And John, the Gospel of John, would say the same thing, or 1 John to be exact. If you confess with your lips, I love God, but you got something, you got division against people in your life, you're a liar, is what the Bible would say. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So you have to take ownership for your life and going back and trying to reconcile with your past as best you can with the help of mentorship and wise counsel to guide you through that process. But that's where you're going to find peace. It isn't just like, oh, it's been a terrible life. Now I'm ready to live a new one and I'm just going to take off. There's some healing in that. And there's definitely some grace and some tremendous joy that's found from that. But this is still over here. It's like a rock in your shoe. It's not going away. So you have to deal with it. And so that's what it means to be a peacemaker. I'm going to take ownership. I've been reconciled to God. Now he's asking me to go get right with the people in my life. And it's a beautiful thing to do. It's not easy. For some of you, it might be very expensive. For this guy, it's going to be expensive to get reconciled. You know? And that's why we run from it. But it's that. That's where we find the peace. And so if you're a peacemaker, if you've been healed, again, assume that you've already reconciled and now you're out trying to help other people reconcile to God, then you're going to be called a child of God. There's a famous prayer, but again, I gave you this word earlier, serenity. Serenity is really synonymous with peace, that we all just want serenity. We want to be that serene. We know that it ebbs and flows. Sometimes you don't even have it for 24 hours. You just have it maybe in the morning. And I love the morning. It's my favorite time of the day by far. And it's just a lot of peace. I can get into that space of serenity really fast. And then life comes at you and the phone calls and the texts and the emails come in. And next thing you know, you're all over the place. But this peace, and there's a great prayer. And there's a lot of debate on who wrote this prayer. There's a great theologian. His name's Reinhold Niebuhr. And Reinhold actually went for a while to the same seminary I went to. But he ended up in Union Theological Seminary in New York and became a famous theologian, wrote lots of things that you probably were influenced by, you don't even know it. But one of the things he's credited to writing is the Serenity Prayer. And the Serenity Prayer is really popular in the world. It's really popular in recovery circles. And the short version is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But that peace, that we're trying to strive for peace and how delusional it can be. But here's the full version of that prayer. And I'm going to quote it for you now. And I quote, God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it be. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. It's a powerful prayer. You could break that down line by line, just do a sermon series on it. But you're praying that the hardships of life, it isn't a question if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But the question is, how can I go through that in a peaceful state and be a peacemaker along the way? And some of you do a really great job of that. Others struggle. And I've been all over the place with that. But wherever you're at, that's the goal. That's what it means. So how do you become a peacemaker? I just shared it with you. And it requires some effort. It's a response to the gospel. It's saying yes to the gospel and saying yes to this beatitude. You want to be a child of God? Be a peacemaker. and you'll know what it means to be a child of God. You'll emulate your Father. You'll want to be like Jesus, not because you have to, not because you're trying to earn grace, because the grace is already given to you. It's because of what grace has done in your life, this transformation in your life, that you want to go share it with other people. And that is a huge shift. To go from a taker to a giver of peace is a huge shift for most people. And I hope you have that experience. It is the most spiritually intoxication thing I know that exists. And I've been blessed to live into that for a long time. So I hope that you find that. If you follow Jesus, peace and power come through the conquering of winning, not through any other means the world system has to offer. It comes through self-sacrifice. It becomes from love and service. It comes from living a life of humility, self-sacrifice, other-centeredness, and really, really, truly trying to love everybody, including our enemies. And that's not easy, but it's doable because of the power of the Holy Spirit. If we get our hearts right, get reconciled right. So that's what he invites us to. I'm going to invite our worship team back up here, and I'm going to ask you to reflect as I get ready to pray, and they're going to sing a song for us that we can really live into this moment of what it means to be a peacemaker. So let's go to that space and try to find some serenity in our lives. Lord, thank you for bridging the gap between humanity's lost state and your perfect love, grace, and mercy. And Jesus paid it all so we could have that experience. But we have to respond to your invitation. You don't coerce us. You don't twist our arms. You don't manipulate us. You don't con us. It's purely free will. It's a two-way street. It takes two to say yes to relationship, Lord. We know you said yes to us before we were ever born. We know that because we see it in the cross, in the life and death and resurrection and the second coming of Jesus. So help us love that. Be grateful for that, that we have this opportunity to be at one with you. But you ask so much of us to let go of our own self-interest, to live for your ambitions, to turn from our lostness, turn towards living a life of humility and self-sacrifice and other-centeredness and learning to love everybody in the world. And you ask us to reconcile with our past, people, place, and circumstances that there's been brokenness, there's been heartache, there's been burnt bridges, there's been broken hearts. You ask us to take ownership for our lives, take responsibility for our part, even if it's the minimal part, and to step into those relationships and try to be peacemakers, try to bring some kind of grace and mercy and love into that space through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that we can do that. We pray for the willingness to do that, and we pray for the removal of anything that's blocking us from doing that. So we can have this peace that we talked about today. So we can truly experience it in our life. And then with all the thunder that we have, go out and share it with as many people as possible until we come for permanent residency in your house. So we pray this today, and we pray it boldly in your Son's name. Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly,
If you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.